expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fully fresh, fully friendly, fully fantastic, and fully fabulous Friday as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. And we proudly make our proclamation that we are only visitors on this planet. Amen. First up, we examine the King David experience for when he returned to Ziklag and found his home shattered, his people shaken, and his faith stretched wide. Next, if you take the word disappointment and do some rearranging with only one letter, you get to find out that really disappointment is his appointment. You just change one letter and you'll see that the thwarting of your purpose is God's better choice for thee. And finally, it always comes down to a moment where we must choose to go right or left, up or down, in or out, or to walk in faith or fear. And we all need to make a committed and immovable decision.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Three very good things. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, there are a couple of ways to get a hold of us. We'll keep it to two today. You can either call in 972-445-0770, in which Terrific T will help you out, answer the phone. She'll be very nice to you, send it over to me, and then you're on your own. Or you can text in, anybody can text in, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. We like praise reports. We like prayer requests because it puts us collectively together pursuing the Lord, and that's always the top-notch thing. We also like pop questions. If we can answer, we will. Sometimes we have to delay that to another show and another time. We do the best we can. And then we also like to do trivia. And we like trivia because trivia keeps our brains in the Word of God. It keeps the truth at the forefront of our thinking. Speaking of trivia, here's your first trivia question. What was Lot's relationship with Abraham? What was Lot's relationship with Abraham? You are welcome to let us know if you know. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I have so much material to cover again because we had Ray on Wednesday. I pushed back the sermony thing I was going to teach on, so I'm going to teach that today. I take a sermon and break it up in like four different parts, and that is a lot of fun. We're going to do our best to get to that. There's a couple other things I really need to cover that are important. Yesterday, do not forget, we did our expository teaching on Philippians chapter 2. We did verses 6, 7, and 8. Very important to understanding the principle of the nature of Christ. He had the divine nature and added into that the human nature, being fully God and fully man. Without that, we ain't got nothing, because there's no way that he can represent God to man and man to God unless he's man and God. That's it. It's not even rocket science, okay? One of my brother-in-laws, he is a rocket scientist, okay? This is not that. Just to make it as simple as possible. All right, let me tell you what happened today, because this is fun. And did you find any kind of car thing? Kind of iffy. All right, let me tell you what happened today. So I know I'm the only person in the world that drives down a freeway and listens to GPS. Sure I am. So anyway, I'm driving down the freeway, and my phone buzzes. You know, it does that little thing, and it says, accident ahead. And then it says you have a little dismiss button right there if you don't want to pay attention, or if you want to accept it, you accept it. And it says, take the exit 54. So I took exit 54, right? What is that? Is that a car? Oh, okay. You're so fun. So I take exit 54, right? And then it says right after take exit 54, it says merge back on to exit 55. So I merge back on to exit 55. Makes sense, right? That's a good way to skip the accident. Here's the problem. There was no accident. There was nothing. And then it said take exit 55. So I take the exit on 55, and then it says merge back on exit 56. And then I go back on 56. So I'm going out. I'm coming in. I'm going out. I'm coming in. There's nothing taking place on the freeway whatsoever. So I told T, it is my theory, that there are people there that watch what we do like this, and they're just laughing. They're just like, look at that guy. Look, off and on the freeway. Off and on. Exactly. That's a little bit of a problem. You know, you just, I mean, there's a sense where you want to be able to have a confidence in it, but then when they're bouncing you in and out, thank you very much. All right, couple things to cover with you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. We don't do a lot of time in politics in this show. We just mention a couple of things briefly. Props to John MacArthur and his church in California, who won their fifth case five times that the governor of California has tried to shut the church down. You don't just get to shut anybody down anytime, anywhere. And when people have a lot of people in their congregation and have a lot of money and have a lot of people connected to them, they have good attorneys too. So therein lies the problem. Five times. And they were
Amen.
Like,
"Amen."
I mean, you know, he's the guy. I don't agree with everything he says, but he's in there all the way. Love that. Then the other thing, and I just have to mention this because my wife and I saw this, and we about fell out of the couch when we saw this. So I don't know if you saw the guy in Idaho. There's a church in Idaho, and they went and they were standing 9 feet apart in dots, and they were singing. Okay. And they didn't put a mask on, but they were 9 feet apart, literally dots, 9 feet apart. And they got arrested because you have to have a mask. Wait. If you're going to sing, not if you're going to speak, if you're going to sing in public in this county. So he got on the air. And this is where I have these problems. And he was asked, well, what's the deal? He said, well, he goes, I have a little bit of a problem with it all because we've had zero deaths in our entire county. Okay. And then he said, and we've had zero hospitalizations. And it's like, that guy can't stand 9 feet apart from another person and sing in a county that's had no deaths and no hospital. Yeah, something seems that does that not seem weird? That just seems like what are they doing?
Yeah.
It's not like Idaho is like killing it in population. It's like what are you trying to really just thin it out? I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was brave of the guy to 9 feet away. I don't know. Somebody in MSNBC said they're in a death cult. 9 feet away, no deaths, really? Okay. I'm working through that one. Just let me alone. I don't quite understand that. We're getting ready to get our teaching in, but here we have somebody calling in, so we want to give him an opportunity to answer on the trivia. We got trivia? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Dave.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great. Sunshine, and I'm happy. I'm a happy camper.
I love that. You're a happy camper. I love it. That's so awesome. All right, my friend. Now, this is not overly difficult. This is one of our classics. Lot had a very unique relationship with Abraham. What was his relationship with Abraham?
Well, Abraham's brother's son, which was his nephew, I guess.
That is correct. He was the nephew. And you can use this, Ace, anywhere you want to. I just want to say this real quickly. You can use this. Ready? Why was Abraham so smart? Because he knew a lot. See?
He knew a lot.
There you go.
I like that. It's a ding-a-ding-a ring on there.
That's a good one. All right, my brother. Yeah. Excellent job. Way to start the show. How are you feeling, by the way? You feeling pretty good?
I'm doing good. I'm struggling a little bit with allergies and stuff, but we're making it. And no serious, you know, I always pray the prayer that I always pray the prayer that says that, I always say that, if you obey my commandments and statutes, I will not put any of the diseases of Egypt upon you. So I pray that prayer all the time. So I trust you. I said, you got to do, that's your word, Father. So please answer that, would you?
Yeah.
And I keep them diseases away. Yeah. So I've been good.
I'm glad to hear that. You stand firm in the word. Don't be immovable. Don't let the world or the situations dictate what God's truth is. All that stuff changes. God's truth never changes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. Yes, sir. Appreciate your love and appreciate your program.
All right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. Okay. God bless you. All right. All right, so we're getting into this thing with David. I'm going to give you a little bit of history because it's the only way to set it up. So if you're one of those people that are like, well, I want to, you know, we want an extensive teaching. Well, there was a little bit of extensive teaching yesterday. I will say that. But I'm going to give you the background on this situation. You need to understand it because it's pertinent to you and how you walk your walk. Let me tell you what happened. We're talking about 1 Samuel 30, and when we come back from the break, that's what we're going to be covering. But let me give you a little background so you can get your brain ready for where it's going, because we're going right into it, okay? So here's the deal. Saul, in earlier in Samuel, the book of Samuel, he tried to kill David because he was jealous, and he ultimately knew that David was going to replace him as a king, okay? He knew his time was up. So there are two times that in this process that David actually spared Saul's life. I mean, he was just like kind of like being a totally cool dude, didn't take Saul's life when he had that opportunity to do so because he didn't want to touch the Lord's anointed. So David decides, I'm going to go live on the edge of the Philistine land and stay away from Saul, and that way he's not going to try and kill me anymore, and I won't have to deal with this, and just be like, wow, okay, that's the end of that. So Achish, he is one of the kings of the Philistines. David ends up hanging out in this guy's territory, and then David would say to him, or Achish would say to him, where you been? And he'd say, oh, I was raiding the Israelites, and I was trying to do this and trying to do this. But the fact of the matter is that David was really raiding the Philistine outposts. And if you're sitting there as a Christian and thinking, well, was David lying? Let me help you out. Yes. No, technically, he wasn't lying. He was lying. He was like, yeah, I'm wiping out the Israelites. I'm taking out my own people. But he was wiping out the Philistines. What happened is he tried to march with Achish in a big army confrontation. He got sent home because they didn't trust him. And when we come back, that's the setup. He's coming home, and that's what we're going to talk about, what he found when he returned home, which was very, very devastating. We'll get to that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be far.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
Amazing grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quick reminder, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com and get this music, our intro and exit music, for free. That's my sister and brother-in-law, our sister-in-law and her husband. I don't know even how you say that. September and Glenn. There you go. Bottom line is you're welcome to do that. And I think you find a lot of that stuff a blessing. That's under the HYMN Project, H-Y-M-N. And again, I can have terrific tests. I have no idea what the intros are, what the exits are, anything that we're doing on the in-between. I have nothing to do with that, do I?
Nope.
It just plays. I have zero. So there it is. So it's just like one of those things like the Lord's doing. So here we have the Philistine intro. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to do our trivia at the end because I got to get to this teaching and I don't want to delay too long. But let me first mention the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, go to the website, check it out. There's some different stuff on there. If you have an opportunity to give, that's fantastic. If you can't, I still pray the Lord blesses you. If you're a giving person and you haven't been giving to your church, the place that you're getting fed, give there first. Make sure you take care of your home. Make sure you take care of the place that you are central at, you know, connected to. And then if there's left over and you're able to give as an offering, we're here. Okay, we're here, and we ask for your help on a regular basis. Let's get into this, because this text is phenomenal. Thank you. Let me just say phenomenal. This is Ziklag, the situation. I already told you, Dave's coming back, King David, before he's king, before he's announced king in Judah in 2 Samuel 5:4, before he becomes king of Judah and Israel. 5:4 is Israel and Judah. He becomes king, I think, in 2 Samuel 2. And so before that takes place, Achish is asking him, hey, why don't you come with me? We got a big raid. We're going against Israel. He gets up there in front of the Philistine kings, and they're all like, no chance this guy's going with us. He could turn on us, and that boy, what a great way for him to find favor again with Saul. Nope, that's not going to happen. So they send David home. This is what happens when David comes home. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and their sons and daughters taken captive. Let me tell you what this very first element is. This is David coming back with his men, his faithful, loyal fighters. They come home and their house, their housing area, their camp, their whole process of where they exist in their inhabitation, wiped out, burnt. Nobody's dead. They kidnapped the women and the children. Okay? I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but I would say that that would be a huge level of disappointment. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you come home and everything you have has been burnt to the ground and your precious wife and your precious children, and in this case, David had two wives, they're gone. And it's just not the way you thought it was going to go. And let me tell you something, as people out there who are Christians, who have a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is this principle called disappointment. And what disappointment is things are not the way that we anticipated or hoped they would be. It could do with family. It could do with a job. It can do with relationship. It can do with anything. But what's amazing about disappointment is the process that comes out of it. So you hear me saying the word disappointment. I've said it like 9 times. But if you change that D in disappointment to an H, it actually changes it from disappointment to his appointment. If you change one letter, it flips the script. And just because things aren't the way that we anticipated they would be does not mean that God has abandoned the situation. The next thing that happens, and I want you to catch this because you should identify with this. It says in verse 4, so David and his men wept until they had no strength left to weep. They were burned. They were out. There was nothing left. They had wept so much and cried so much sorrow and so much bitterness that they were just fried. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like there was such an emotional impact? You ever feel like your insides were violated because it's not the way you thought, and there's this element of disappointment, and your head hangs low? This is exactly what they're going through. You're not the only person to go through the process of disappointment and have that process of disappointment turn into direct discouragement. That's exactly what happened to David. And then this next element that happens is probably the most grievous between disappointment and discouragement. This next one that happens is unbelievable. David's two wives have been captured, Noam of Jezreel and Abigail, the wife of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, watch this, because the men were talking of stoning him. So now I want you to you got to get into David's, and the reason they're telling the story from David's perspective is so that you can see it that way. The first thing he encounters is this massive disappointment when he comes home and sees Ziklag and it's burned. That's horrible. And all the people have been taken captive. That's horrible. And all the weeping that takes place between David and all his men, they've cried it out. They're cried out. You ever heard that expression, cried out? They're cried out. They're emotionally exhausted. And then what happens after disappointment and discouragement, grief has this way of turning into bitterness. And now the guys who are with David, remember, some of these guys are really great. Some of these guys are really not great. Remember, some of them are kind of scoundrels, the scripture says. And now they're thinking, we should stone David. All of a sudden, all these things that David did, all this fantastic stuff is completely forgotten. And now they're bitter. And now they're thinking, uh-oh. We've got to find somebody to blame. And who do they blame? They blame David. Even though David called none of them, and they went to David, and David accepted all of them, and David was the leader, now it's David's fault. This poor guy. I feel so bad for him. Forget the fact that he's got my name. I just feel bad for this guy because he leaves trying to do the right thing. These people attach to him. He doesn't pull them in. They attach to him. And as these people attach to him, he's helping them. They have great victories. They're doing fantastic. They come back. The situation's horrible. They're all wiped out emotionally. And now they start blaming the guy. It's all your fault, David. And that's what happens for you and I. We get to a disappointment, and from a disappointment, you get to a discouragement, and from a discouragement, you get to a distance. And let me explain something to you that you're not going to want me to say in its most direct fashion, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that is, this is oftentimes many stages that a Christian goes through in an engagement with God when something happens and it kind of blows up in your face. It's disappointing, and that disappointment leads to discouragement. And don't tell me you don't do this, because I don't suffer fools for a long time. And that discouragement turns into a distancing and a blaming of God. And this is what, you know, when Job went through his process, just if you just read it, you'll find out, you know, he did really, really good in chapters 1 and 2, didn't he? But it's the next 30 chapters that he's horrible in and ultimately has to be rebuked, because he's justifying himself rather than God. And the rebuke was quite simply, okay, pal, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? What, you weren't there? Then you should be quiet. That was the rebuke. And God's nice way of saying, put a cork in it. That's what God did. And you might be thinking, well, that is exactly what God said. And it's like the idea here is that you feel like, oh, I'm being wronged, and I'm mad. Got it. That you're not alone in it. I mean, you're not the only person that has gone through disappointment, discouragement, and the distancing. The biggest difference is in the example of Jesus Christ, there was disappointment, there was discouragement because his, you know, he knew what was coming, but he found no distancing from the Father until the most crucial moment where the, you know, where many say that the Father looked away. Argue that another time. My point is, Jesus's process was to go into the garden, right? So we need to see what David's process is, because you look at Jesus and you think that's the example going to follow. What you'll be amazed about when we return and talk about this is that example that Jesus showed was following David's example. Oh, don't you love stuff like that? All right, here's our trivia question that we're going to ask, and then we'll come back, and you can either call. If you're going to text in, you can text in. If you're going to call in, you're going to have to be on hold for like 3 minutes. I'm just telling you. In what book of the Bible do you find the following words? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What book of the Bible is that in? Again, you can call in or you can text in. Either way, whatever you're comfortable with. We're going to take our break, come back, and then pick it up from this moment where they wanted to stone David to what the next step is. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel and a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Remember, we just talked 5 minutes ago, 2 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago about how I have no control of what's played in the middle. Right in the middle between the second segment and this segment was that whole thing about me talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and making a decision. Wait till you see what the next element is. It's like God going, just teach it. Just teach it. Just shut up and teach it. I'll take care of the rest of it. Okay. So my answer is okie dokie. Trivia question. In what book of the Bible do you find the following words? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What book is that in? If you know, you can text the answer in. You can also call in at 972-445-0770. Let's not forget our website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, we encourage you to check out the website as is normal. We're going to cover history because I had something amazing happen last night on my FaceTime phone call with my granddaughter. So let's do history, and then I'll explain how this all ties in.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
So it's important to recognize that today, we're talking about different holidays. Today is National Daughter Day, and so I put a little thing on my daughter's Facebook, but I want to mention something about my granddaughter and my daughter, both. Let me use this phrase carefully, conniving together against their father / grandfather. How can you support this? Not that long ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, we talked about mishugana, which was a Yiddish word, can be used as an adjective to describe somebody as insane or a noun to refer them as a crazy person. We talked about that explanation in our definitions of some Yiddish. And last night, as I'm closing out my FaceTime, my daughter tells my granddaughter, tell Grandpa, okay, and then so she's repeating, so she's saying to me, Grandpa, and I go, yeah, and then she goes, you're a mishugana. She's 4 years. You're a mishugana. I'm thinking, I don't know if they declared war. I haven't figured that out yet, but she called me a mishugana. So, anyway, that's right. Parenting is fantastic. Grandparenting is fantastic, but moments like that. My granddaughter called me a mishugana. If my mom were alive, she would have given her a standing ovation. I just want to say that's all I got to say about that. A couple things. We'll get right back to the teaching, and then we'll hit on the trivia towards the end. Today is National Lobster Day. I'm okay with that. Okay.
Yummy.
I mean, I like lobster. Come on. Today is National Quesadilla Day. I like that.
Yummy.
I'm good on that. Today is National One-Hit Wonder Day, and that's like people that do one song that's great, and then you never hear from them again. You know,
that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, I mean that one song, by the way, still makes millions of dollars. It's not like they're not making money.
I feel like the Cha Cha Slide is a good one. I think that's still like a big one-hit wonder. Still around.
They're still out there. You know, the one-hit wonders never go away. They just hang out. Remember, they even had a compilation of one-hit wonders, you know, and then they got royalties from that. Amazing. It's National Comic Book Day, but the only reason I support that is because the older comic books is what God used to help me make a decision between good and bad, right and wrong, and that's why I decided that God was true and Satan was bad.
Woo-hoo!
So, I mean, that from that point of view, I like it. All right. Last two things, ironically, speaking of not necessarily one-hit wonders, but maybe on a lower scale. 1970 on this day was the first episode of the TV show The Partridge Family. Did you ever see that show? Probably never.
Nope,
probably,
never even heard of it.
Yeah. I would like to say you're missing a lot, but I just can't do it.
Is that a one-hit wonder show?
More than, you know, you ever heard the song, I Think I Love You? No, that was one of their songs. But they had, it was kind of interesting. And then last and probably least, Cypress, I shouldn't have said that. In 1699 today is the date of the very first American newspaper called the Public Occurrence Foreign and Domestic. It was fantastic. It lasted one issue, and then the royal governor shut it down. Guess he knew what was coming. That's all I'm going to say on that one. All right, let's get back into this First Samuel point. So in the break, you heard me talking about making a decision. That is a critical element to this teaching that we're talking about in regards to David, King David, and this situation that happened at Ziklag. There was a lot of disappointment when he returned, and it's hard. Disappointment is hard, folks. I wrote a book called Church Disappointment, his church disappointment, his appointment. And the reason is because sometimes even when you go through a bad church experience, God is in that. It's not like he's left and went to Pluto. He uses everything in your life to help you draw closer to him first, and then everything else. That's absolutely, positively normal. We just don't think of it in those terms because it involved you in a church and so on and so forth. So this whole idea that they faced disappointment, totally understandable. That they got discouraged from that point of view, wept until they had no power to weep, totally understandable. That the people started to get bitter, totally understandable. But it all changes right there. Because in verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking about stoning him. Each one was bitter in his own because of his sons and his daughters. They were mad because their kids were gone, right? But the last part of verse 6 says this, but David found strength in the Lord. And what happens is you go through disappointment, you go through discouragement, you feel a little bit of distance, you might even be mad at God, but you have to make a decision. And in this case, I'm talking about the Christian making a decision to turn to God for strength. Okay? What you heard in between times in the segments was making a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Well, you've already made that decision. The majority of you. And now you have to make another decision. Even though there's disappointment and discouragement, and even though you're feeling maybe that sense of distance, maybe a grief and maybe a bitterness, you still have to make the decision. Where will you find your strength? Where do you, not me, and then I have to ask that question to me, but I have to ask that question to every person. Where do you find your strength? And in this case, it says David found strength in the Lord his God. Instead of getting mad, trying to justify, being a bitter Betty, being a legalistic Larry, instead of all that stuff, he understood. He went through the disappointment, the discouragement. He understood the men were mad and they were bitter in spirit, but he turned his face to God and said, I look to you. And when Jesus faced that cross, he went in the garden, spent time with the Father. If it can pass, great. If not, here I am. That is turning to the Father for your strength. And just to give you an emphasis on that, verse 7 and 8, David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? And shall I overtake them? Pursue, you'll certainly overtake them and succeed in rescue. Not only did David make that decision, then he threw his full dependence on God for direction. Okay, I'm finding my strength in you. Where do you want me to go and what you want me to do? That's what I'm going to do. If God had said go nowhere, David would have went nowhere. If God would have said no, David would have said okay. If God would have said go left, he'd have gone left, right, right. That's what we have to do. We have to make the decision on where we find our strength. And then once we make that decision, and if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, there's not a lot of question as to where that should be. It should be in the Lord. Then we throw our dependence upon God for direction. Tommy Barnett one time preaching at Phoenix First Assembly. It's a massive church. I mean, there's like 20,000 people, maybe 25,000 people in that church, which his son took over for him. And his other son, I actually knew his other son who sold my mom her house. He said this whole element of us understanding our dependence, throwing it on the Lord, being aware that God is the only one that can direct us. God doesn't want you to be a reactor. This is a really interesting line. Don't just be a reactor. Something happens and you react. Be an actioner, which is like, So what he's saying is don't let something happen and then everything you do is respond. Take action. Like, that's good. I don't think I do that. It's like, wow, that's – and the action that David took is he made his decision to find his strength in the Lord, and then he proved that by seeking the Lord for dependence, direction. What do I do? What do you want me to do? Okay, what do we got? Like a minute left, I think. Is that about right? These are really important principles. My voice just went higher. These are really important principles for us to utilize in our walk, in a genuine walk. Stop playing the game. Stop playing Christianese or, you know, Christianopoly and stuff like that. Christianity is more than Monday or Wednesday nights and Sundays. This is a 24/7 relationship. Either in or you're not. Be truthful about it. When you have a problem, be honest about it. And forward in the Lord you go, right? You find your strength in the Lord, and you throw your dependence upon the Lord. There's still one more yet to go, so don't go anywhere on that. In what book of the Bible do you find the following words? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes. Nice try, Joy. That was close. I'm just telling you. All right, we can take our break and come back. We got one more segment. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere.
Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I'm still having more fun than most people. I mean, you know, this is not work. I mean, it's work to prep for it, but it's not work to talk about it. It's just kind of cool for me. And so I thank you all for listening, and I pray that it's a blessing. I pray for the audience every day, and I don't just mention you guys. I pray that the Lord would bless you, give you favor. I thank him for your willingness to participate, and then I pray that he blesses you in some special way every day, because that's what I think would be cool, and that's what I'd like people doing for me. Here we go. Trivia question. What is the name of the first New Testament martyr? Now, before you answer, I did not say once the church was established. What is the name of the first New Testament martyr? Shouldn't be that hard, but I'm just trying to make sure you don't go the other direction, okay? New Testament martyr. New Testament starts with Matthew 1:1. You're welcome to call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so I want to get somebody's calling in, so that's good. So we'll take that call, and then I want to get back into this because there's another D. So we've talked about disappointment, discouragement, distance, decision, and dependence. Yet I have another D in this process of David's encounter for recovery. But first, let's take the call. We ready? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Is this this Will Rogers?
I'm sorry. Is this what?
Will Rogers.
This is not Will. This is Will Rogers. Hi, Will. How you doing?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
Okay. I'm doing fantastic. I really am. All right. So we got an interesting trivia question. Is this the first time you've called, by the way?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. It's a bravery to call in, so I appreciate it. I really do. I know that sounds silly, but it is. It takes something to call in. So I'm looking for the first New Testament martyr, but I'm talking about from the very beginning, not the first church martyr per se. Who's the very first New Testament martyr?
John the Baptist.
That is correct, sir. You are right. 100%. Good job, Will. That's great. Did you know that right away? Were you just like, oh, that's John?
As soon as I heard you ask the question, I thought, Stephen? Nope, first one's John.
There you go. Excellent. Excellent job. That's what I was concerned that I'd get some people tripped up in that. So great, great job. Please, by all means, call again in the future.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed day, sir.
All right, you too. Have a fantastic weekend. God bless you. All right, cool. That's fun. I love stuff like that. Christian radio is so unique. It's just got its own little principle. I was telling T in the break that, you know, it's like you just do the ministry, you teach, you teach, you teach, you just consistent, and people draw back into it and get something from it, and then they go out and bless other people. It's just like, okay. In the meantime, I'm still having fun, and I get a bully pulpit, and I don't have to go to a comedy club to tell my terrible jokes. So, come on. Who's winning? I am. Okay, so we're talking about King David before he's technically king. 1 Samuel 30, comes back to Ziklag, kind of under a real big disappointment when he returns. The city's burnt up. The people have been taken away. There's a lot of discouragement. The scripture says specifically, David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Very powerful statement in scripture. There's a couple of, probably about six scriptures that are similar to this, but it's just like, it's kind of like the Jesus wept thing. It's just like, bam, that's it, bam. And so then there's a distancing that takes place, and the people are very bitter because their sons and their daughters have been kidnapped. They're talking about stoning David. David makes the decision to find strength in the Lord, and as soon as he makes his decision to find strength in the Lord, which you, as Bible-believing, born-again Christians, when you get into that situation, you face disappointment, you face discouragement, feel a little bit of the distance, you make the decision. Just like you made the decision to say yes to Jesus, you say yes to finding your strength in the Lord per your situation. And then David, as an example, has complete dependence, throws himself, brings in the ephod, prays, asks God for direction. Hey, give me insight. What's the first thing that happened to David once he did all this? Because this all sounds fantastic, David. Who's not excited about this? I mean, he was discouraged. He was disappointed, discouraged. There's some distance, but he made a decision, and then he's fully dependent. But the first thing that happened, verse 9, David and 600 men were with him at Besor Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine, but David and the 400 men continued to pursue. First thing that happened to David, once he has this decision and once he exhibits this dependence, is there's a distraction. 200 of 600 men could not go on. One third of his men stopped. And that's the obstacles. And obstacles, once you make the decision and you say, the Lord is going to be my strength in my situation, and you throw your dependence on the Lord, one thing I will tell you, not prophetically in the office, but practically as a Christian who's been around for 43 years, having a Jewish background and having a Baptist and Pentecostal ordination, I am telling you, obstacles are guaranteed in your pursuit. I don't care what your name is. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what it is. Irrelevant. Satan is defeated, but he's not idle. Right? So let's not mix that up. But it doesn't end there, because the story, as you know, as often is true with great Bible characters, the story has a wonderful ending. Verse 18, David recovered everything from the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Not only did David recover everything, watch this, but God then brought about the last D, and only God could do this, deliverance. Not only are we going to recover, but there's an increase. David not only got back everything he lost, he got back more. Oh, my goodness. I love this. Because he's disappointed. He went through the discouragement. He had some distance going on, right? Had the men talk about stoning him. Made the decision to find his strength in the Lord. Put his dependence on the Lord. Had some distractions, but kept going. And then God gave him deliverance. And not only will you and I recover, but we'll have an increase. And if you want to have the greatest example of all, they put him on a cross. They took his life. But he came back with all authority in heaven and on earth. When Jesus returned, it was just that much more amazing. When Jesus rose from the dead, that much more amazing. Back in even more power, anointing, and authority than even before, because he had humbled himself as a man before. Now he's glorified. It's like, oh my goodness. were glorified in the sense that he was raised from the dead. Then he had to ascend to get into the full glorification. Separate story. Here's the bottom line. Bottom line is, not only are you going to recover, you're going to have an increase. It's going to be even better. And you think, well, how can that be? Because God is involved. That's how it can be. And the Lord is able to take time and make it of such quality that the hard time seems like a distant memory. Yeah, he can do that. He can do anything he wants. He created time. It's kind of up to him. Get that? So I want you to think of this in this way. 1 Samuel 30 lays out this plan for you and I to understand that when there is disappointment, and that disappointment goes deeper into discouragement, and there's a sense of distancing, we need to make a decision to find our strength in the Lord, and then to throw our dependence upon God. And then even when we're doing that, don't be, you know, one of those fluffy, you know, yellow peep marshmallow Christians, okay? There's still going to be distractions. But you continue to pursue, and God brings about the deliverance, and you will have more than you ever even thought. And that's supposed to be our hope. And that is, of course, eternally true, and it is situationally true. Does that mean that God's going to put $60 trillion in your bank account? No. And in fact, in David's case, he gave away his plunder. What it does mean is that God is for you and with you and on your side. And you might have the up and you might have the down, but you still, the last thing, you'll still have the up. That's the glory of God. You're a child of the Most High King. And there is nothing that your Father will not do to better you and to make you more like Christ, and to protect you and surround you. Don't you ever forget that. Because nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Ever. Not now. Not in the future. All right, folks. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.